Okay, so good morning. This, obviously now we find ourselves in the time period of the 3 weeks, so I was hoping today to a little bit discuss this time period to gain a little bit of understanding for ourselves, what we're going through, you know, the sentiments, the feelings, the emotions, etc. The Pasuk in Eicha, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel states, Kol rodfeha hesiguha bein hametzarim, literally translated as, her pursuers catch her in the streets. But the Maggid from Mezuris explains this pasuk to mean that anyone who wants to run after Hashem, to access Him, can catch Him during the time period of Bein HaMetzarim, during the 3 weeks. It is at this point in time that Hashem is more accessible. So, you know, when we take a step back, when we think about this, okay, during, you want to catch Hashem, you want to be rode, if you want to, you know, chop Him, you want to know when the best time? What's a good time? When is He accessible? During the 3 weeks, during Bein HaMetzarim. And we think about that, seems very strange and bizarre. It almost doesn't make sense. This is the last time, if you would say, pick 3 weeks out of the calendar, there's Shavuot, maybe Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. There are so many different times that I would think would be a better, more appropriate time for him to be able to catch Hashem, to access Hashem. You know, especially since one of the 3 weeks, it's a time of Parani, it's a time of destruction, it's a time of misfortune. We're sensitive Eretz Yisrael. It's at that very point in time that Hashem removes Himself. We say there's a concept of Sila Kashchina. He removes His presence, He removes His Shechina. And yet, what does the Maggid of Mezrit say? Ah, you want to know when to catch Him? Kol rodfeha hesiguha. When are you going to chop a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Bein HaMetzarim. During the 3 weeks. So that's really what I'd like to understand. And I think in order to understand this, we have to understand Hashem's hanhaga, His interaction with us. And some of this I saw in an article from Rav Schlesinger in his Sefer Elahei Moadai. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Kel nekamos Hashem, kel nekamos hofia. O God of vengeance Hashem, O God of vengeance appear. The Baal Shem Tov asks, you know, when you look at this Pasuk, you have the word to describe God as kel, and we have the word to describe as nekamot. And you think about what these words mean, they're contradictory. How can you use them both in the same sentence to describe Hashem? How could you say someone's hot and cold at the same time? The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Chesed Kel Kol Hayom, meaning what does the name Kel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu represent? Represents Chesed, kindness. So how can you use the word, the name of God, Kael, to describe Nekama, to describe vengeance? They don't fit together. They seem contradictory. And the Baal Shem Tov explains that there are two ways that Hashem can cause or arouse Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva, to repent. We have the first way, which is through discipline. Onesh, din. You know, you did something wrong, you get a patch. And that can cause a person to do tshuva, to repent. And then there's a second way that Hashem can cause a person to do tshuva, to repent. And that's when He showers this person with chesed, with kindness, compassion, and rachamim. After receiving such a shefa, such an abundance, the person begins to think, wait, hold on, how am I worthy to get all these things? I am sinning against Hashem, and look what He is doing to me. He's showering me with chesed and rachamim and all these good things, thereby creating some sort of sense of embarrassment. How can I, and then the person stops and thinks and says, wait, how can I go against such a compassionate and benevolent king, causing what? This person to rethink his ways, to repent, and to change. A mashal is given of a powerful king who has an officer that rebelled against him. And according to the law of the land, he should have been put to death. That's it. Done with this person. But the king was a compassionate and merciful one, and he decided he wanted to do good for this servant. He didn't want to just punish him and kill him. So therefore, what does he do? He commands the other people, you know, raise this officer's position. You know, give him all these great things. Bestow upon him goodness and glory. Make him important. And the officer saw that instead of punishing him, what does he do? He's the king is giving him so much good. He's overcome with embarrassment. And to the point that what? He goes to the king and he falls before him, crying from this embarrassment, begging him for what? For forgiveness. So there are these two avenues or these two catalysts which can cause a person to repent and to do tshuva and to come close to Hashem. We have the avenue of kale, of punishment, careless chesed, of bestowing upon this person goodness and charity and rachamim, and we have the avenue of nekama, of vengeance, of din, of punishment, of strict judgment. And this is what Hashem did. He first came to us through Kael and through Chesed. He bestowed upon us goodness in the hope that what? We would recognize Him and we would repent. But since we did not respond, we left Hashem with no choice. So what happens? He comes to us through nekama, through vengeance, and through din. And then what does He do? He ultimately destroys the Beis HaMikdash. And this is precisely how we can understand this pasuk in Tehillim. Kael nekamos Hashem, Kael nekamos Hofia. Though yes, Kael, which represents chesed and rachamim, and nekama, which represents vengeance and din, are seemingly contradictory, they are two different approaches of Hashem that can both be used to cause B'nai Yisrael to reconnect to Him and to do tshuva. And it's based on this idea that the Maggid of Medrash explains the Zemer we sing Friday night in Kol Mekadesh Shvi. We say, Mishoch chastecha liodecha kel kano v'nokeim, literally meaning, extend your kindness to those who know you, O jealous and vengeful God. Meaning what? We are asking Hashem to extend to us His chasadim, His rachamim, even at a time, Hashem, that you want to punish us. You're a kel kano v'nokeim, right? We deserve strict judgment. We deserve vengeance. We deserve a punishment. Hashem, please what? Use the approach of chesed and bestow upon us this goodness and use that as an avenue to cause us to what? To repent, to become close to your Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because why? We want the tshuva process to be started with Hashem showering us with chesed and rachamim, causing us to recognize the need to do tshuva, rather than the punishment, the patch, the nekama, the din. But obviously this approach requires of us to take some sort of initiative. We have to respond to it. We have to recognize, look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to me. Look at all this good that He does for me. How can I rebel against such a benevolent, merciful a person who bestows upon me all this chesed, and therefore say, I can't go on like this. I have to change. The Torah tells us, Bereshis bara Elokim. In the beginning, we say Hashem created. Rashi there explains, Bereshis bara Elokim, v'lo amar bara Hashem. That what? In the beginning, what name of God is used to create the word, the world? The word, the name Elohim. Rashi comments, it doesn't say Bereshis bara Hashem, or the name Yudkei Vavkei. Shebetzchila ala b'machshava levroto b'midas hadin. Because why? At the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought, how should I create my world? I need to use this aspect of din. You do wrong, you get punished, that's it. V'ra'asha in ha'ola miskayim. But Hashem saw, a world can't exist like this. So what does He do? He precedes it with the midah of rachamim, and He makes the shidfus, this partnership with the midah of din. V'hainu dechtiv, and that's what the pasuk says, b'yom asos Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim, that Hashem created the eretz and shamayim, but look at the names that He used. Hashem, yudkei vavkei, representing rachamim, compassion, and then Elokim, representing the din. Hashem created the world using both names, but first His derech is through rachamim. It's through the yudkei vavkei. And then, obviously, if we're not responding, then He's left with no choice. Then He has to go to the Elokim, to the din.
That's like ensure both names.
Exactly. Exactly. The same two names are used. And that's also, you know, the concept of, we say Hashem Elokeinu in Shema, because we have to realize that a lot of times the world thinks, oh, you know, there's different gods. There's a god for everything. There's a good god and there's a bad god. But in Judaism, we believe that it's all really coming from one source. And then when we say Hashem Echad, we only use that one name. Because even if we perceive things as bad, it's really all coming from Hashem's love and rachamim for us. The author of the Shoot Kol Aryeh explains, based on these psukim, our very idea. First, Hashem thought to punish with strict judgment in order to arouse Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva. But He saw
it was too difficult for the world to bear this suffering. Therefore, what's Hashem going to do first in order to try to arouse us to do tshuva? He's going to start with chesed and rachamim, through bestowing upon us good. We see that rachamim really has formed a partnership with din, in that it can also arouse a person to do tshuva and to come close to Hashem. If, however, a man doesn't have the seichel, the proper intellect, to understand that Hashem's giving him an abundance of kindness and compassion in order to cause him to repent, then Hashem has no choice. He has to punish him to cause him to change his ways and to return. Hence the pasuk says, "Biyom asos Hashem Elokim Eretz v'shamayim." It starts with Hashem, the God of Rachamim, and when we don't respond to the Rachamim, it switches to Elokim, the God of Din. And this is what we are mourning in our Avelos of the Beis HaMikdash. We're mourning our failure to recognize the Chesed and the Rachamim of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We didn't see the Shefa and the abundance, and therefore attach ourselves to Hashem and reconnect with Him. And so Hashem is only left with the second option, to force us to recognize Him with the Din, with the destruction, and with the exile. If we would have been able to come to this realization through the chesed, we wouldn't have needed the din. We wouldn't have received the din. It's unfortunate that often we realize and appreciate what we have, what we had, when it's too late. We only can recognize the shefa and the goodness and the bracha and the chesed when it's taken away from us, when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and when it's no longer. And we today have the ability to be misaking, to fix this. And approach Hashem in the way that we should have initially, by being proactive, by taking initiative, and responding to and recognizing the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of Yaakov's life, Yaakov gathers together his sons in the end of Parshas Vayechi, and the pasuk tells us, "Vayikra Yaakov levanav, vayomer, he asvu va'agid alachem es asher yikra eschem la'achros hayamim." Simply understood as, Yaakov wants to tell his children, he says, "Gather together, I want to tell you what is going to happen to you at the end of days." And that's really how we usually understand it, that's the story that we give over. But the Tver Shlomo has another explanation, and he explains that this pasuk is not simply a statement of, "I want to tell you what's going to happen," but rather, it's a prayer, and it's a hope of Yaakov Avinu. In order to understand this, how this expresses a tefillah and a hope of Yaakov Avinu, we have to first understand a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Aleph, pasuk Dalet, states, "Mashcheni acharecha narutza." Draw me close, and I will run after you. The Gemara in Kiddushin Chavbet Amad Bet tells us that one can acquire an animal through mashicha, through pulling, in two different ways. Korei la v'hiba, o she'akisha b'makel v'ratzta lefanav, kivan she'akra yad v'regel kan'a. There's two different options, two ways that a person can acquire an animal. The first is korei la v'hiba. You call the animal, and the animal comes, and in that way you acquire the animal. And the second option, excuse me, is hekisha b'makel v'ratzta lefanav. You hit the animal, the animal lifts its leg, and you therefore acquire the animal. Obviously, the first involves no tsar to the animal. The owner stands in front of it, calling it. And in the second option, the owner stands behind the animal, inflicts tsar, he hits the animal with a stick, and thereby it gets him to move. And so the person acquires the animal. And so what do we ask Hashem? We ask Hashem to be kona us, to acquire us through mashicha. Not through this drawing of us, not through the mashicha of hitting, of din, but rather through the mashicha of chesed, of rachamim, of calling us so that we can take initiative. And that's why we say in this pasuk, "Mashcheni acharecha," draw me, call me, stand before me, and I will run after you. Like the kinyan of korei la v'hiba, right? V'narutza, I'm going to run after you, Hashem. You stand there, you call me, and I'm going to come. And that is the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I want you to acquire me. It's through the mashicha of korei la v'hiba. And then I'm going to run after you, Hashem. Narutza. This is actually the praise that Hashem gives us when we followed Him into the Midbar. Hashem says, "Zacharti lachesed neurayich ahavas klulatayach." Hashem's remembering, "I, B'nai Yisrael, I remember the kindness of your youth, the love when we were newly married, when we were engaged. What was this great kindness? Lech teich acharai b'midbar. That you what? You went after me in the midbar. That you followed me. That we had this relationship. That you recognized me and you followed me in this way. And that was this great chesed. Hashem didn't have to respond in any other way. He called us, took us out of Mitzrayim, and we followed in suit. And this is exactly what Yaakov told his sons that he was hoping for and davening for. That what should happen in the end of days? What should happen in the Achros Hayamim? The Geula should come in this very aspect, in the aspect of what? The Korei Lavi Hiba, that Hashem's going to call us and we're simply going to follow Him. And therefore, what does the Pasuk say? Asher Yekre Eschem LaAchros Hayamim. We always say, what does it mean? That Yekre, what's going to happen to you in the end of days? But really, if you look carefully at the Pasuk, if you read it with a critical eye, how is the word Yekre spelled? Not Yud Kaf Reish Hey, meaning what will happen to you, but Yud Kaf Reish Aleph, that you will be called. Because this is the venue that Yaakov Avinu hopes will be used to cause his children to come close to Hashem in the end of days. That we should be acquired. We should recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should connect to Him through a calling. And not by being hit by a stick. We should recognize the chesed and the kale and not require the din and the nekama. We shouldn't require a patch, a destruction, exile, etc. to recognize Hashem and to connect to Him. And that is Yaakov Avinu's hope and tefillah. Asher Yikre Eschem Ba'achros Hayamim. That in the end of days we should respond to the kriya, to the calling. So we should respond to Hashem in the way of Korei La V'hiba. Rav Pinchas Friedman says that we find a similar idea in the Midbar. You know, when we do what Hashem wants, Hashem goes before us, and He showers us with chesed, like the Mashiach of calling. The Pasuk tells us, Shmos Yud Gimel Chaf Aleph, V'Hashem Holech Lefneihem Yomam Ba'amud V'anan V'layla Ba'amud Eish. When we were in the Midbar, how did Hashem guide us when we were following Him, when we were doing good? He went before us. During the day, it was a cloud, and at night, He led us with this torch, with this fire. And similarly, in Shmos Chaf Gimel Chaf, Hinei Anochi Sholeich Malach Lefanech L'Shmarcha B'Derech. Hashem says, what? I'm going to send before you a Malach to watch over you, to protect you in your journey. And again, in Lamed Gimel Bet, V'Shalachti Malach Lefanech, I'm going to send a Malach before you. But what happens when we complain and we give up and we step away from Hashem and we can't recognize the goodness and all the things that He's doing? Pasuk in Perek Yudalit Pasuk Yudalit, and we say Hamivli Ein Kfarim B'Mitzrayim Ki Tov Lanu Avod in Mitzrayim. We say, Hashem, look what you're doing to us in the Midbar. We don't recognize all the good things. We say, there are not enough kfarim, there are not enough burial places in Mitzrayim, Hashem. You had to take us to this desert. It would have been better for us to serve the Mitzrayim, to worship them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing to us here? And then look what happens. Then the same parak, a few pesukim later in Pasuk Chaf, Vayisa Malach Elokim Haolech Lifnei Machaneh Yisrael Vayelech Me'achoreihem. All of a sudden, the Malach that was going to guide Bnei Yisrael, now in response to our response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing to us? We should be in Mitzrayim. We should serve the Egyptians. The Malach goes from before them, and now he's going behind them. Hashem went from a Mashiach of Chesed, of being before Bnei Yisrael, to being behind them, to an interaction of what? Of din, of remember the Mashiach of the owner goes behind the animal and he hits them and then causes the animal to move. The author of the Or Pnei Moshe elucidates this with a mashal. And he writes, L'chad sheyesh lo eved, she'enu ne'aman be'enav, v'choshe shelo yivrach, azay molicho lefanav. So, there's a mashal of a person, right? And he has a servant. And he says, you know, this servant, he's not ne'aman. I don't really trust him. So I know if I go ahead and he follows me, what's going to happen? Ki choshesh im yolichinu l'acharav yivrach. What's going to happen? If I go in front and I let him say, oh, follow, follow, he'll run away from me. I don't trust him. Ve'im ha'eved kasher be'inav muvtach. But if you trust this servant and you're secure with him, you believe he's someone who's kosher, shelo yivrach, azai bevadai haderech eretz she'ilecha eved achar adonav. Right? So then, of course, if you trust the servant, what's the appropriate way to go? That the master goes before and the Eved follows suit. But that's obviously in a way that the master trusts the servant and he knows that he's going to follow him. He has ne'amanas. In Shir HaShirim, we find these two approaches of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know Shir HaShirim is about this relationship with Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu different times. And how we're together and then we separate and how we try to once again reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what happens? We're separate and kol dodido fake. The woman who's been yearning for her husband, she hears a knock on the door. It's the knock of my beloved. And what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the beloved, says, Pischi li achosi rayasi, open the door for me, my love, my, you know, all these beautiful descriptions. Shorashitz nimla tal, kfusasai, resise laila. You know, my head is full of tal, of dew, my etc. And what happens? You know, she's trying to say, open it for me, I'm here, I'm finally here, I have all these good things to give you. But we're overcome with like almost this temporary insanity. And we start to make excuses. We say, Pashatati et ktonati, echacha el bashena. Rachatzi et ragli, echachat nafim. I already washed my, you know, I already took off my coat, my clothing. How can I come to the door? I already washed my feet. How can I walk back on the dirt? And what happens? Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the Beloved, is trying to get them to open the door. I have so many good things I want to give you. I have this towel, these amazing things. But since we don't respond and we don't open the door, what are the pesukim that follow? Matzauni ha-shomrim ha-sovevim ba'ir. Hekuni pitauni. The shomrim, the watchers in the city, find me. And what do? They hit me. They wound me. We don't respond and react to the chesed. Hashem's left with no choice. He has to resort to the din. And the Ikar Chorban was because, why? We didn't realize that Hashem was trying to acquire us and to connect with us through chesed. And so, he turned to din. It is this same dichotomy that we find in the words of Yeshayahu. The Navi tells us, when will the Geula come? Bi'ita achishena. The redemption has two options. Two ways of coming. Either we could take a proactive approach. We can respond to the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then what? He will hasten the geula. Achi shena. It will come in a fast, speedy way. But if not, if we don't respond, Hashem's going to leave it to the din. And it will come bi'ita, in its appropriate time. According to what we deserve. According to the din. It's brought down in the Sfarim HaKdoshim that the 3 weeks from Shavuot or Batamis through Tisha B'Av, parallel another time period of 3 weeks that we have in the Jewish calendar. The Moadim Shel Reshit Hashanah, the high holidays, the 3 weeks from Rosh Hashanah through Sukkot. These days have the same essence, Hashem's great love towards us and the ability to come close to Him. During Tishrei, we come close to Hashem after a tshuva process. We start in Elul, and we continue through Aseres Yemei Tshuva. When we reach the ultimate, we reach Simchas Torah, the ultimate day of closeness with Hashem, when we rejoice, just us, Hashem, and the Torah. And the time period of Bein HaMetzarim is the same. The only difference is the closeness came through din, through destruction, and through tragedy. But this is not how it has to be. We don't have to be forced to repent through destruction. We can recreate the concept of Korei La Vihiba, that Hashem calls us and we run after Him. And this is our avoda during this time period, during the 3 weeks. It's with that in mind that we can look back on our original pasuk of Ko Rodfeha Hesiguha Bein HaMetzarim. We said that the Maggid of Mezritch tells us, you want to know when's a good time to Tzachap HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when's the time that you can connect and become close to him? And he says, Bein HaMitzarim, it's the time of the 3 weeks. And we said, how can it be? How can it be that this time of tragedy and destruction is this time that we can come close to Hashem? That we can run after him and we can catch him? Isn't it a bad time? A mashal is given like an officer. And when he's sitting in his home, in his palace, people are fearful. They're in awe. How am I, a simple person? How can I go and knock on his door and just go into his presence and request an audience? However, when this officer is walking outside in the street or in the marketplace, outside the palace, he's closer to anyone outside who wants to call him. And he can listen to anyone who calls his name. Sir, sir, officer. You know, nowadays we have a lot of bodyguards, but imagine the president or the prime minister. When they're, you know, when the president's in the White House, etc., or, you know, the queen in her palace, you know, how can I get in there? But if he's walking down the street, that's my opportunity to call out, to get the attention, to connect. And it's the same thing. The same is true of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At this time, when the Shechina is, you know, is out, it's quote unquote, it's not in the palace. It's a time of destruction, and we're roaming the streets. We have the ability to come close to him, to call out to him, and he will answer. But it's more than that, because when we look closely at our pasuk, it's rodfeha hisiguha. Those who run after him can catch him and come close. Those who run, we are running after Hashem to recreate the relationship of korei lavihi ba, of calling us and us running after him. Hashem is before me, and I'm taking a proactive role. It's during this time that I will be successful and become close to him. But it has to be rodfeha. It has to be a running. It has to be a proactive approach of Bnei Yisrael. And then we will be able to hisiguha bein hametzarim. We don't view the 3 weeks as simply a time of punishment and din. We don't cry over what was. But rather, this is a time of running after Hashem. Of crying tears of hope and yearning to once again cleave to Hashem and have that relationship of korei lavihi ba, that Hashem just calls us and we run after him and we connect to him. And it's based on this that we can understand what Yirmiyahu told the Jews on the way down to Golus. When obviously the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you know, Bnei Yisrael were running, you know, they were being sent out of Eretz Yisrael. And actually the way Yirmiyahu found Bnei Yisrael was he followed the trail of blood and he catches up to Bnei Yisrael. And they're crying, Yirmiyahu, our father. You know, they didn't really have a good relationship with Yirmiyahu. During the 40 years of his nevuah, they tried very hard to get rid of him. They didn't want to listen to him, kill him, put him in a pit, poison him, etc. You name it. But they turned to him in a loving way and they said, Yirmiyahu, look, what are we going to do? What's going on? And he turns to them and he says, my children, if you would have cried just once while you were in Eretz Yisrael, this would have never happened. If Bnei Yisrael would have cried once, if they would have taken the initiative, if they would have desired to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Beis HaMikdash would have never been destroyed. It is this initiative, are these tears of hope and of yearning that will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting. On the night of Leil HaSeder, We say that every night of Pesach corresponds to another Yontif. And the night of Leil HaSeder corresponds to the night of Tisha B'Av. Meaning, if the Seder falls out on a Monday night, that means Tisha B'Av is going to be on a Monday night. And therefore, because of that, we eat an egg at the Seder. Because an egg is a sign of Avelus, of mourning. And the Gra is bothered by this. You know, why do we bring Avelus, mourning, to the Seder? And he answers that the Avelus of Tisha B'Av, the mourning of Tisha B'Av, it's not like other times when we mourn. It has an aspect of Yontif in it. Because if we become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it will bring the Geula. The Avelus, it's a tzmicha. It's a blossoming of the Geula. And since Nisan is a time of Geula, it's a time of redemption, it is appropriate to remind ourselves of Tisha B'Av and its potential for Geula, and what we must do, what actions we must take in order to get ourselves there. And it's for this reason that Tisha B'Av is actually considered a holiday. We say Kara Alai Moed. We don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. Because it's the beginning of our Yeshua and our Geula. It's the beginning of our salvation and our redemption. And it's the same idea that Chazal tell us, Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. Because the Avelos is the beginning of our Geula. Tisha B'Av can be a Yontif, but we have to take the initiative. We have to capitalize in, on this time period, on running after Hashem to catch him. Of kol rofa hisiguha bein amatzarim. If we run after a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can catch him during this time of the 3 weeks of bein amatzarim. I always think about, you know, during this time period, a story of my friend, her great grandmother. She was in the, you know, in the camps in the Holocaust, and obviously, you know, a time of terrible destruction for Klal Yisrael. And her group was taken into the gas chambers to, you know, be put to death. And she went in, obviously, with a whole group of women and her cousin, and she knew what was happening. You know, it wasn't a secret. The poison gas was going to come in or start coming in, and that was it. They wouldn't have very long. And she said, "That's it. We can't just sit here. We have to do something." And she turns to her cousin, and they see that there's a little window on the top of the gas chamber, and so one helps the other, and she starts banging on the window. And that's it. Banging, banging. No! The gas is gonna come in. Everyone's gonna die. We have to stop it. We have to let the air in. We have to break. And she's banging, and she's banging, and she's banging. And finally, her hand breaks through the glass. And what happens? Obviously, she foiled the Nazis', plan, and they get very angry, and they round everyone up! Everyone get out! Get out! Get out! And she's standing with her bloody hand behind her back. And they're looking at everyone angrily. What's going on here? Who broke the window? Why did you do that? Somebody step forward. And she sees them. Obviously, they're very angry. And she sees she has no choice but to step forward, because if she doesn't do something, everyone is going to get punished. And she steps forward, and they start to beat her. And at that moment, when they're beating her, the sirens start to go off, because the Allies were coming to liberate the camps. And I think that this story, you know, demonstrates it. We can be, you know, in any time, but it's really upon us to take that initiative. And when we step forward and we bang on the glass and we show a Kadosh Baruch Hu what we want to live, we want to continue, we want to connect to you. That's it. He can send us the Geula, but it's up to us to take the initiative. And this time, it can be a moed. It can be a holiday and a celebration. But what do we have to do? We can't just sit back. We have to take the initiative. We have to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to run after you. I want to catch you. Please let me during this time. Draw me close. Let's have that relationship again. I think we have to learn from our past mistakes of not recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not taking the proper initiative and chasing Hashem. And we have to chase Hashem during this time and beg Him to once again give us that third base HaMikdash, to give us that relationship, the relationship of Korei La V'Hiba, where we can connect to Him through Chesed and through Rachamim and recreate this relationship, this Mashiach of Korei La V'Hiba, and hopefully fulfill Yaakov's tefillah of Asher Yikra Lachem Ba'achres Hayamim, that in the end of the days, the Geula is going to come through a kriya, through a calling, through a Mashiach of Chesed and Rachamim.